Hey everyone, welcome back to the AI Hardware Show. I'm your host Skylar Monroe, and if you're into chips, silicon, and the hardware that's making AI happen, you're in exactly the right place. Huge thanks to our sponsors, Limitless AI, helping businesses integrate AI into their workflows, and Ago Consulting, that's Ago, your go-to for silicon development consulting. Today we've got a packed episode. NVIDIA is squeezing insane performance gains out of Blackwell through pure software. H100s are literally going to space, and there's a new edge AI chip making waves on Wall Street. Let's get into it. All right, kicking things off with a story that I think is genuinely one of the most interesting narratives in AI hardware right now, and it's not about a new chip launch or a new architecture. It's about software. NVIDIA just announced that through continued optimization of its full-stack inference software, it has cut the cost per token for DeepSeek V4 by up to 5 times on Blackwell GPUs. And this happened in just 1 month after the model launched. 1 month, 5 times cheaper. Let that sink in for a second. So let's back up and talk about why cost per token even matters. If you're running an AI inference workload, meaning you're actually using a model to generate responses, not training it, the fundamental business question is, how much does it cost to produce 1 unit of output? That unit is a token, which is basically a chunk of text, roughly 3/4 of a word on average. When you multiply that cost across billions of queries a day, even tiny improvements in efficiency translate to massive savings. So cost per token is basically the miles per gallon of AI compute. Now here's what makes this story so fascinating. NVIDIA didn't release new hardware. They didn't tape out a new chip. They didn't even change the Blackwell architecture. This was purely a software and firmware optimization play. We're talking about improvements in NVIDIA's inference stack, things like better kernel fusion, smarter memory management, improved scheduling across the GB200 and GB300 NVLink fabrics. The silicon stayed the same, the algorithms got smarter, and this is something I think a lot of people underestimate about NVIDIA's competitive moat. Yes, the hardware is incredible, Blackwell is a beast, but the software stack CUDA, TensorRT, the NIM microservices, the inference optimization libraries, that's years and years of engineering baked in. Competitors can try to match the silicon, but matching that software ecosystem is a whole different challenge. The DeepSeek V4 model specifically is interesting here because it's a mixture of experts' architecture, which is inherently complex to run efficiently. You've got different experts being activated for different tokens, so the scheduling and memory access patterns are way more irregular than a dense transformer. Getting a 5 times cost reduction on a model that complex through software alone is a remarkable engineering achievement. This is why NVIDIA keeps pushing the cost per token narrative. It's a metric where they can show continuous improvement even between hardware generations. Really impressive stuff, and definitely worth watching as Blackwell deployments scale up across the industry. Okay, story number two, and this one made me do a double take when I saw the headline. NVIDIA's H100 GPU is going to space. Like actual outer space. IEEE Spectrum is reporting on efforts to take data center grade AI compute and get it orbital. And look, I know that sounds like a headline from a sci-fi novel, but there's some really serious engineering thinking behind this. So the H100, if you're not familiar, is NVIDIA's previous generation flagship data center GPU, the one that basically defined the AI gold rush of 2023 and 2024. It's built on TSMC's 4-nanometer node, it's got 80 gigabytes of HBM2E memory, and it can deliver around 2,000 teraflops of AI compute in its SXM form factor. It was designed to live in a temperature-controlled, humidity-controlled, well-powered data center on the ground. Not exactly what you'd picture strapping to a rocket, but here's the motivation. As we put more satellites and orbital platforms up, think Earth observation, communications, reconnaissance, we're generating absolutely enormous amounts of data up there. And right now, the bottleneck is getting that data back down to Earth for processing. You can only push so many bits through a downlink, and there's latency involved. So the idea is, what if you process the data up there, in orbit, and only send down the insights instead of the raw data? That's where on-orbit AI compute comes in. Now, getting any silicon to work in space is a massive engineering challenge. You've got radiation, cosmic rays, and solar particles that can flip bits in memory and corrupt logic gates. You've got extreme thermal cycling, going from burning hot in direct sunlight to freezing cold in shadow, multiple times per orbit. You've got power constraints, size and weight constraints, and you can't exactly send a technician up there if something breaks. Traditionally, space-grade chips are specially hardened, rad-hard as they call it, which means slower, older process nodes, way less performance. We're talking chips that are sometimes a decade behind consumer technology in terms of raw capability. But the argument being explored here is that commercial off-the-shelf chips like the H100, combined with redundancy and error correction strategies, might be viable for certain orbital use cases, especially in lower radiation environments like low Earth orbit. The implications of this are huge for the satellite industry. We're in this era of massive constellation deployment, SpaceX Starlink, Amazon Kuiper, and a whole wave of remote sensing companies. If you can run meaningful AI inference at the edge of the atmosphere, you fundamentally change what these platforms can do. Real-time object detection, anomaly identification, onboard decision-making, without waiting for a ground station handoff. It's a wild frontier, and the fact that the H100 is the chip being discussed just shows how dominant NVIDIA's hardware has become across every compute domain imaginable. Moving on to story three, and this one's a bit different. We're talking about a company called NDI Semiconductor, and their stock just popped after announcing a new edge AI chip that's getting attention from Wall Street analysts. Now I want to be clear, I'm not here to give financial advice. Talk to your financial advisor, do your own research. But from a hardware perspective, there's something interesting going on here worth discussing. NDI Semiconductor is a fabless chip company, meaning they design chips but outsource the actual manufacturing to foundries. They've historically focused on the automotive semiconductor space, things like radar, vision processing, connectivity chips for cars. And that's actually a really important context here because automotive is one of the most demanding environments for edge. AI silicon, edge AI, just to define terms, is AI inference that happens locally on a device rather than in the cloud. Your phone recognizing your face? Edge AI. A car detecting a pedestrian in real time? Edge AI. The appeal is obvious. You get lower latency because you're not round-tripping to a data center. You get better privacy, and you reduce bandwidth costs. But the challenge is you've got to fit meaningful compute into a power and thermal envelope that's way more constrained than a server rack. What's interesting about NDI's positioning is that automotive edge AI has some of the toughest requirements in the industry: functional safety standards, wide operating temperature ranges, real-time deterministic performance. If you can build chips that meet automotive-grade requirements, you've essentially proven out a platform that can be adapted for industrial, robotics, and other demanding edge applications. The fact that this chip is drawing street scrutiny, meaning analysts are paying attention and asking questions, tells you something about the broader market sentiment around edge AI silicon right now. There's a lot of investor appetite for anything that plays in the AI chip space that isn't just NVIDIA or AMD. The hyperscalers are building custom silicon. The big names are obvious, but the ecosystem of specialized edge chips is enormous and fragmented. Companies that can find a defensible niche, whether it's automotive, industrial IoT, smart cameras, whatever, and build silicon optimized for that niche. Those are potentially interesting plays as AI moves from the cloud to the device. I'll be watching Indy to see how the technical specs on this new chip shake out. The devil is always in the details with edge silicon. What's the TOPS per watt figure? What's the memory bandwidth? What software stack are they shipping with it? Those are the questions that separate real products from marketing slides. All right, let's get into story four, which is the kind of story I nerd out on hardest. It's the Semiconductor Engineering Chip Industry Technical Paper Roundup for June 30th. This is a collection of research papers and technical findings from across the semiconductor world. And honestly, this is where you see the future being built before it shows up in product announcements. Let me walk you through some of the highlights because there's some genuinely fascinating stuff in here. First up is processing using DRAM, sometimes called PUD or compute in memory. The basic idea is that instead of shuttling data back and forth between your memory and your processor, which consumes huge amounts of energy and creates a bandwidth bottleneck, you do the computation directly inside the memory arrays. For AI workloads especially, which are incredibly memory bandwidth hungry, this could be transformative. The research in this space is advancing rapidly, and it's one of those areas where if someone cracks it at scale, it reshapes the entire compute architecture landscape. Then there's a paper on atomic scale plasma processing. This is about the actual physical manufacturing of chips. Specifically, how do you etch and deposit materials at the level of individual atoms as we push to smaller and smaller process nodes? We're talking about transistors that are literally a handful of atoms across. Controlling plasma chemistry at that precision level is an extraordinary engineering challenge, and it's one of the reasons why leading-edge semiconductor manufacturing is such a high barrier to entry industry. There's also work on gallium oxide phase instability, which caught my eye. Gallium oxide is a wide bandgap semiconductor that's gotten a lot of attention as a potential successor to silicon carbide for power electronics. It has theoretical properties that should make it fantastic for high voltage, high power switching, exactly what you need in EV inverters, power supplies for data centers, things like that. But phase instability, meaning the material wants to change its crystal structure under certain conditions, is a real manufacturing challenge that needs to be solved before gallium oxide can go mainstream. And then there's a paper on LLM-assisted RTL generation, RTL being registered transfer level, which is basically the hardware description language stage of chip design. This is AI being used to help design chips. You're using large language models to help write the code that describes how a chip's logic should function. It's a bit meta when you think about it. AI chips being designed with the help of AI. This is a genuine trend in the EDA, or electronic design automation, space. And it has huge implications for how fast new chip architectures can be developed. Oh, and the paper on TPU training supercomputers, that's Google's tensor processing units being used at supercomputer scale for model training. There's ongoing research into how you architect and interconnect thousands of these specialized chips to train frontier models efficiently. The networking topology, the collective communication algorithms, the fault tolerance strategies, it's a whole field unto itself. These technical papers are where the real innovation happens before it ever makes a press release, and I love that there are publications tracking this stuff. And rounding out today's episode, story 5, NVIDIA, AMD, and Intel are leading an AI chip stock rally as Wall Street rebounds. So the broader market had a recovery and the semiconductor names led the charge, which honestly makes sense given how central these companies are to the AI infrastructure build-out that everyone's excited about. Let's just do a quick rundown of where each of these companies sits from a hardware perspective, because I think it's useful context for understanding why investors treat them as AI plays. NVIDIA is obviously the dominant force. Blackwell is shipping in volume, the software ecosystem is unmatched, and they're essentially the default choice for AI training and a huge portion of inference. Their market position right now is about as strong as any company in tech history has ever been in a new compute paradigm. AMD is the credible challenger. Their MI300X and now MI350 series are competitive on paper. Lots of memory bandwidth, solid compute, and that ROGM software stack has gotten meaningfully better. They've won some notable cloud deployments, and they're the natural alternative for customers who want to diversify away from NVIDIA dependency. The software gap is still real, but it's narrowing. Intel is in a more complicated position. Their Gaudi AI accelerators have had some traction, particularly with certain hyperscaler customers looking for cost-competitive options, but it's been a harder road. Intel is also in the middle of a massive transformation, restructuring the company, investing in their foundry business, trying to regain process technology leadership. The AI accelerator piece is just one part of a much bigger strategic reinvention story there. What's interesting about all three of these moving together in a rally is that it reflects how investors are thinking about AI infrastructure as a category. When sentiment turns positive on AI spending, and the signals from hyperscalers about their capital expenditure plans have been pretty bullish, money flows into all the chip names because the rising tide lifts boats. Data center spend goes up, GPU demand goes up, and even companies in the supply chain, memory, networking, substrates tend to benefit. The thing I always want people to remember, though, is that stock price and technical capability are different things. A company's stock can rally on sentiment while a competitor is quietly out-executing them on silicon. And vice versa, great engineering doesn't always translate to immediate market recognition. That's what makes this industry so fun to watch from both a technical and a business lens. The hardware story and the financial story are always running in parallel, and they don't always line up neatly. That's a wrap on today's episode of the AI Hardware Show. We covered NVIDIA's remarkable software-driven cost per token improvements on Blackwell, H100's heading to orbit, NVIDIA's new edge AI chip making noise with investors, a deep look at the latest semiconductor research papers, and the AI chip stock rally led by the big three. The AI Hardware Show, brought to you by Limitless AI and Ago Consulting. Check the link in show notes to learn more about both of them. If you found this episode useful, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, leave a review if you're feeling generous, and share it with a fellow hardware enthusiast. All the sources and extra reading are in the show notes. Until next time, keep your thermals low and your bandwidth high.